Before the captivity of Judah in Babylon, until after the taking away of the people into captivity in Babylon. And literally he goes with a group of exiles into Egypt, and it is supposed that he died in Egypt. And so he is another captivity or pre-captivity prophet, and he is full of judgment, and the people hate him because he brings a word of judgment, and they don't want to hear that. They want to hear everything's all right with us. And so he is often in pits and in jail and in persecution, and he is never, ever a very popular person because of the word of God. But we'll begin with Jeremiah today. For a text, let's go to the fifth chapter, and beginning in verse 30, we'll read verse 30 and 31. And would you say a wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land? Now, wonderful here has the connotation of a mysterious thing. Not wonderful as in good, but a mysterious, hard to understand, and horrible thing is committed in the land. Would you say the prophets prophesy falsely? And the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will you do in the end thereof? Turn to your neighbor and say, the prophets are prophesying falsely. The priests are ruling for their own gain. And the people love it. What are you going to do? That's the paraphrase of that verse. Let's have a seat and give God praise and thanks for his word that is forever settled in the heavens. We magnify you, Lord, and we give you praise and we give you thanks. We love your word. Thank you for the privilege of handling your word in this house today. Praise God. Praise God. Thank God. The word of God and the will of man. We've got a titanic collision here. All throughout the word of God. And I guess if you had to boil it down to its essence or distill it down to its central point, the conflict is the word of God, which is the expressed will of God, the word of God, and the will of man. And therein lies the conflict. Brother Scales preached about it a little bit this morning in his testimony. And it is absolutely the way that he said it. Now, Jeremiah follows Isaiah, and he is after the captivity of Israel, and he's preaching about the fall of Jerusalem, which happens around 587 B.C. And so he is living on both sides and under siege of the Babylonians. And his theme throughout the book of Isaiah is primarily the impending judgment of God on Judah and the reasons why God is judging them and the reasons why they are going into captivity. There's a great, great emphasis in the book of Jeremiah on the word of God, and that is that goes without saying, but it is the same in all of the prophets, because the word of God comes to them by God's Spirit. Some of them see the word of God. Some of them hear the word of God. It comes on them. It flows through them. It is a divine impartation. The word of God comes on them, not by natural means, but by the Spirit of God itself. Let's take a brief look at this. Chapter 1 in Jeremiah. And we'll just kind of make our way through chapter 1 and verse 2. This is the words of Jeremiah, verse 2. To whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon. So the word of God comes to this prophet. And verse 4, then the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, and he begins to relate what God said by his word. Verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and pull down and destroy and throw down and build and to plant. In this 9th and 10th verse, Jeremiah says, God touched me and put his word in me. And this is what he gave me power to do. He has set me over nations and over kingdoms to root out, pull down, destroy, throw down, to build, and to plant. I want you to know that word of God that you're handling this morning, that word of God that you're loving and that you're cherishing in your life today, it has power over all nations and over all kingdoms to pull down and to set up and to root out and to build up or to destroy. Somebody in the house, do you understand that the word of God has all power and represents all the authority and the power of God? And God puts it in the hands of a man. Let me just stop here short this morning and say, don't let the devil intimidate you while you have the word of God in your hand. And don't let the pressures of life threaten you and steal your peace and rob you of your joy. You've got the eternal word of God in your hand. The great irony of all ironies is that you would sit in a place of misery and feel incapacitated or without recourse, and you've got the word of God in your hand. You've got the creative force of God in your hand. There is nothing in this world or beneath it or in hell that can stand against the word of God. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. Verse 11 and verse 13 in this first chapter. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Jeremiah, what do you see? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. And in this, God gives him a vision of the word of God. And it's symbolic of the authority of God and the life-giving power of God. Verse 13, and the word of the Lord came to me the second time, saying, what do you see, or what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. And this is going to be a fulfillment of the rage of Babylon as it comes down in judgment against Israel. They are the boiling pot or the seething pot of judgment that's coming down. But he is now seeing visions born in him by the word of God. Chapter 2 and verse 1. Moreover, the word of the Lord came to me saying, these are not the words of a man. This is not a man's agenda, but this is God breathing his word into men. And just as surely as Jeremiah is prophesying, Babylon comes down and takes them into captivity. The events that happen on the face of the earth among men happen because of the probing, intrusive, assertive power of the word of God. Verse 4, hear the word of the Lord, O house of Jacob, and all the family. And we could go on, but I want you to know that Isaiah and Jeremiah and these prophets, they are endued with power by the word of the living God. Somebody say the word of God. Praise God. Now, everything that is made by the word of God. It is the creative power of God making its way into the earth. Genesis chapter 1. And beginning in verse 1, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, everybody say, God said. In the creating of the world, it was not by his hands, it was by his word. The word of God is the creative force of God. When you're handling the word of God, you're handling the very power that emanated from God's spirit and merged into the darkness and exploded with light and life and all that you know around you. Everything around you, it's resting upon the foundation of the word of God. It is the word of God that made it into the word of God that holds it all together. God, don't let the enemy marginalize the word of God in your life. Don't let it become a bookend. Don't let it get dusty on a shelf somewhere. You've got all the power of God in written word on your shelf, in your hand, in the form of God's word. Somebody say praise the Lord. It is the creative power of God. John chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Everybody say the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Praise God. If it looks like it exists, but it wasn't made by the word of God, it's not real. The only reality is the reality constructed by the word of God. I'm telling you, it's a day for you to step up into the word of God and breathe the rarefied air, the reality of that the word of God creates for your life. The devil may say you're a loser, but the word of God says you can win. The devil says there's no hope, but the word of God says when God is there, all things are possible. I wouldn't take no for an answer. Somebody in this house needs to get a hold on the word of God today. Praise God. Praise God. So that means that everything in the natural world, everything around you, from the atomic level and inanimate things and the cellular level and living things or animate things, all of those things are designed and made by the word of God. He spoke. And the trees that you see out here took their form in the potential of the trees that he made in the garden. And those seed bearing plants and flowers and trees and all of the things that you see today emerged out of the word of God. They are yet perpetuated today, 6,000 years later, by the word of God. They still hold their form and they still hold their shape, even though they're crushed under the curse of sin that man brought upon the earth. Those things still break up out of the earth. They'll break up through the pavement. They'll make their way up out of the concrete and they'll begin to bear fruit just like God told them to. And that is the creative power of the word of God. The planets and all heavenly bodies, the stars themselves are made by the word of God and are held in their places by the word of God. The laws of physics that cause them to operate and hold their relationship one to another, all of those things are established by the word of God. Don't you ever think for a minute that God by his word can't handle your little life and the little things that are going. Anytime you got a doubt about that, step out of your tent and look up into the heavens and see what God has made, and then go back in and use the devil for a speed bag and tell him God hung the stars in their places. God can take care of me by the power of his word. All clap your hands unto him and bless his name. Praise God. Praise God. Your heart's beating without your conscious effort. Your cells are functioning and your all the neurological wiring in your body is functioning. And it's all because God spoke it long, long ago. And that word has perpetuated that life as long as there are men on the earth. And as long as this season of biblical planning continues, those things are going to continue to be perpetuated by the word of God. Let me tell you something about this world. There'll be air enough to breathe and water enough to drink, and a plastic bag is not going to change that. Why? Because God said there would be. Are you against protecting the environment? I'm just saying you can't hurt the environment. You're not big enough because the word of God set it into force. You can't. Let me tell you what. You and your whole family and everybody that knows you, all a volcano has to do is burp. And it just did more than you'd do in 1,000 years with all your plastic bags. You do what you want. Yeah, I don't care about all that. I'm just telling you, this thing is solid and stable, and it's made by the word of God. Everything. Praise God. Did you get up this morning wondering if your heart was going to beat? The plumbing is working. The blood is pulsing all throughout your body, all by the word of God. Praise God. It continues because God said it. Praise God. In the spiritual world, it is the same. In the spiritual world, angels were made by the word of God and they obey the word of God. Devils and demons were made by the word of God and they were made to be evil. And they, by God's timetable and by God's word, they rebelled against God. And by the word of God, he hurled them down out of heaven to take their place on the earth, to play their part in the role God has given them in the drama and the process of man's finding his way to God on the earth. Praise God. Deuteronomy chapter 13. We won't read them all today, but Deuteronomy 13, the false prophets are sent by God. If there arise among you a dreamer or a prophet, and he tells you something, and that thing comes to pass, he says, let's go follow after other gods. God said, don't do it. That's the Lord your God proving you, testing you, checking you out to see if you love God with all your heart. God sends the false prophets. I'm telling you, they all work for the word of God. They all exist because of the word of God. 1 Samuel chapter 16 and verses 14 and 15. Everybody say an evil spirit sent by God. Tell your neighbor, God owns and rules the evil spirits. Praise God. The devil himself was made by God and is ordered of God. And if you don't believe it, you read Job chapter 1 and chapter 2. And God starts the conflict and God sets the parameters. And God tells Satan how far he can reach. And in chapter 1, he can take everything Job has, but he can't touch his body. And in chapter 2, he can touch his body, but he can't take his life. Because the word of God sets parameters about how far the devil can go. Don't you let the devil make you think he's bigger than he is. He'll never be bigger than the word of God. God puts up the hedge and all the hell can't break through it. Revelation 20 and verse 1, one angel, everybody say one angel. One angel comes down with a chain in one hand. That means he does this one-handed. He's got a chain in one hand. He snatches up Lucifer with the other hand. He binds him up with a chain and he casts him down into the pit and he sets the timer for 1,000 years. Now, normally we read scriptures, but we're not reading these. We're moving on. You go read them for yourself. But when the 1,000 years is open, God lets Satan out for a little season to tempt the nations, because you got tempted and they need to be tempted too. And then he takes him and puts him into hell or into the lake of fire, the second death, forever. I'm just telling you, one angel, it's not a titanic, cosmic, heavenly struggle. One angel throws Satan into hell. God can do that right now today, but the devil plays an important role in God's plan for you. Because he is the counter. He is the option. He is the alternative. God's plan revolves around your free moral agency and your free will and choice. The stars of the heavens and all of the created things have no will. They just sit there and shine and give glory to God. A starfish in the sea just swims along and gives God glory. A Portuguese man of war and a puffer fish, everything beneath the sea. Flowers that bloom and trees that spread their gnarled hands in the wintertime. I'm telling you, everything out there does exactly like the word of God says. But God has given you a choice and a will, and he's created a demonic construct so you'll have somewhere else to go if you don't want to serve God. But hell was not prepared for you. Hell was prepared for the demons and the legions that follow after Satan. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. But man, for the process of God and for choice and for exercise of will, is different from all created beings and objects. Man has a will. You can do what you want to. I'm glad you're in the house of God this morning. You can do what you want to. I'm glad you've got a word of God in your hand. You can do what you want to. I'm glad you came in the house and worshiped God this morning by choice and by will. And some of you had something else you could have done. And some of you had a trying time in your body. And some of you are having pressure in your life. But you said, I'm going to the house of God by will. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will be glad in it. Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, at Sinai, God gave them everything they needed. When Moses led the people out of Egypt and he led them to Mount Sinai, he gave them the word of God. 40 days, Moses is on the mountain with God, and God gives them everything they need to become a new people, a new culture, to spiritually come into the presence of God. God gave them everything he had for them by the word of God. Everything you need is in the Word of God. John, give us 2 Peter 1, verses 3 and 4. Turn to your neighbor and say, everything you need is in the Word of God. Praise God. Everyone say, according to his divine power, has given unto us all things that pertain to life and godliness. He gives you everything you need for this life, and he gives you everything you need for spiritual life. Through the knowledge of him that has called us to glory and virtue. And verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption of the world. The process and the plan is so that you can be a partaker of the divine nature. God wants you to be like him. He wants you to come to his house. He wants you to come live with him forever. But to do that, you've got to make your way through the process. And the way you make your way through the process is by will and by choice. Every day, you pick them up and you put them down and you say, I'm going to serve God today. I'm going to live for God today. I'm going to pray through today. I'm going to confess his word today. I'm going to serve him today. I'm going to say no to the world today. I'm going to do right today. I'm going to be faithful today. It's a choice and an exercise of will every day of your life. Praise God. That's the process. That's how you get from where you are to the divine nature. Praise God. The trumpet's going to sound, and when it does, you're going to be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Praise God. Now, as we make our way through the process, there's this great battle between God's word, which is representative of God's will, and the will of man. Your will, by sanction of God, is the most powerful thing on the earth. In some regards, it is the most powerful thing on the earth. Because God will not obviate your will. Oh God, make me whatever, fill in the blank. But God's response is, you become that. You understand me? You want God to do the work. And God said, I've given you everything you need regarding life and godliness. Now get up and get with it. I've given you, get off the phone, quit calling me. I've already given you everything. You've got everything. Touch your neighbor and say, you've got everything you need for life and to be godly. How many of you believe that? It's in the Word of God. But God will not obviate your will. God will let you, if you want to be a fool, God will let you be a fool. If you want to go to hell, God will let you go to hell. If you want to live in misery here and then misery ever after, God will let you do that. And he won't allow the devil to obviate your will. You can't say the devil made me do it. You can't blame it on somebody else. And we've got a narrative text out of the New Testament that proves that powerfully. When you go to Gadara with Jesus and his disciples, and they pull up on shore there at the shores of Gadara, and there's this guy, Legion, in the tombs, and Legion is full of devils. And he breaks chains, and he howls at night, and he cuts himself with stones. And he is, it seems, under complete domination of a wicked spirit. But what does he do when Jesus comes ashore? He gets up, he shakes himself, he runs down to where Jesus is, he falls down and begins to worship God. You think the devil made him do that? Do you think the devil let him do that? I'm telling you, the devil couldn't stop him from that. I want you to know, you just gotta, this word of God and this God you serve needs to get really big in your mind and in your heart this morning. You need to understand that all of hell can't stop you if you've got a mind made up to serve God and to worship God. Somebody say praise the Lord. He goes down and worships Jesus. And then Jesus takes care of the demonic influence in his life and casts him out. Praise God. You come on and serve God. Well, I can't. You're going to give me all the reasons why you can't. And I'm going to give you all the reasons why you can't. The Word of God gives you everything you need regarding life and godliness. That's the bottom line. Anything else you got to say is nonsense. You don't give me all the reasons why you can't live for God. God's given us a love letter that tells you all the reasons why you can live for God. Somebody say praise the Lord. You can do this. You can do it with victory. You can live for God, and you can do a work for God, and you can be used of God, and God can speak through you, and God can bless your home. God can keep your family, and God can do exploits in your life, and God can use you in wonderful ways, and miracles can happen in your home and in your family and in your life, and you can be a part of something great in the kingdom of God. And anything else is a lie. Well, praise God. Praise God. Now, The resistance in the process of your coming from where you are to partake of the divine nature, the resistance is resistance to the Word of God. Because if you ever conform to the Word of God, then you're going to be in the perfect will of God, and you're going to be experiencing the goodness and the blessings of God, and you will be on your way to being a partaker of the divine nature. Praise God. Let's revisit the text here this morning. Jeremiah chapter 5 and verses 12 and 13. Are you okay? Holidays. Gotta love them. Jeremiah 5, 12. They have belied the Lord and said, "It is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword or famine." They said Isaiah and Jeremiah are not speaking for God. They're not representing God. "And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them." The word of God came to them, and it was just taken away by the wind because it wasn't mixed with faith. They didn't have any desire for it. Look at verse 30 and 31 again. This wonderful, which is mysterious, a mysterious and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely. Now listen to this. The land is full of preachers, and they're preaching falsely. It's a mysterious and horrible thing. "And the priests bear rule by their means," or by their own agendas. My people love it. It's a collusion. It's a great conspiracy. And the conspiracy goes like this. Come here, Brother Kedrick. Look, I got a deal for you. I'm tired of preaching all this hard stuff. It's got to be an easier way to do this. I tell you what, you live any old way you want to, and I'll just preach any old thing I feel like it, and I'll just scratch your ears. How's that? And that's the deal that's going on in Israel. But you know, that's got a bigger footprint than just Israel and Judah, doesn't it? That's the deal that's going on in 2008 in non-biblical Christianity. The prophets prophesy falsely. The priests bear rule by their will or by their means. And the people love it. And God said, "What will you do? Can you do with that in the end thereof?" Chapter 6 and verse 10. "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear? Their ear is uncircumcised." Their ear. They're not listening in the covenant. "And they cannot hearken. And the word of the Lord is unto them a reproach." They don't have any delight. They don't want to hear the word of God. They don't want to hear that the word of God is intrusive and insistent, and that there's an expectation from heaven about lifestyle and about godliness and about the way you treat your friends and your enemies and about forgiveness and about all of the things that God has required of man. They don't want to hear it. There's no delight in that. Praise God. I tell you what, though, if you preach to them 10 ways to grow rich, you can fill a house up with thousands of people. If you want to talk to them about how God's going to bless you with a Lincoln and a Cadillac, You can fill the house up with people because they want to hear, how can I do better in this natural experience? How can I do better in my life? I don't want to hear all of that nonsense about what God wants and about how God feels. All I want to hear is that God's on my side. All I want to hear is that God is my friend, and whatever I need, God's going to take care of me. That's all I want to hear. He said the word of God is a reproach to them, and they have no delight. Is there anybody here that delights in the word of God? I mean, you love God's word. Now, I'm going to give you a minute to praise God for his word. I think there's some folks in the house that don't love God's word. Praise God. You know, the word of God will come to you and slap you upside the head and say, you got to hate your mama and your daddy. And you got to nail yourself to a cross. And you got to forgive your enemies. And you got to carry the pack for the Roman soldier 2 miles instead of one. And you got to pay your taxes. And you got to like it. The word of God is intrusive. Mark chapter 7 and beginning in verse 6. And he answered and said unto them, well has Isaiah the prophet prophesied of you hypocrites. As it is written, this people honoreth me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Howbeit in vain they worship me. Did you know you could worship God in vain? Did you know you could worship God and it's not doing you a bit of good at all? Because God demands that it be done within the construct of his word. Teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. They want to tell you, don't worry about what the Bible said. Oh, that was another culture. And that was a long time ago. And that was way back in the days of Peter and Paul. But this is 2008. They're doing the same thing with the Constitution today. And they say, well, that's not the intent of the founding fathers. That's only been 200 years ago. Can you imagine what they're doing with the word of God? That's the New Testament's come to us 2,000 years ago and the old far, far before that. They're just saying, well, that doesn't matter. That's an old, archaic book. It was long ago. It's not relevant to the age that we live in. Everybody say baloney. That's right. It's not a theological term, but it's appropriate. Verse 8. And here it is. You lay aside the commandment of God, and you hold the tradition of men. Here he cites some things that the Jews were doing, like the washing of pots and cups. And other things. Verse 9, full well you reject the commandment of God that you may keep the tradition or your own tradition. You reject the word of God. There's this struggle between your will and the word of God. And the only way you can come into the divine nature is by obeying and submitting to the will of God. Praise God. Judah had religion. They had priests. And they had prophets. One of the first things that hits you like a locomotive when you come into contact with God's truth and his word is that not everybody's right. And then as it leaves you tumbling in its wake, you get up and you shake your head and you say, most everybody's wrong. And it is one sledgehammer blow after another. The current of revelation that comes to you as you begin to embrace the word of God. Judah, this thing is so powerful in Judah. They are standing under the hammer of God's judgment. Isaiah's been prophesying to them and Jeremiah's been prophesying to them, but they are still saying, it's not going to happen to us. We can still win in this. We're not going to have judgment in our lives. Amos chapter 8 verses 11 and 12 said there's going to be a famine, and it's going to be a famine for hearing the word of God, not bread, not water, not thirst for water, but it's going to be a famine for hearing the word of God. Now notice Amos doesn't say there's going to be a famine of the word of God. You can't get it. Amos says there's going to be a famine of hearing the word of God. A day and a condition where people handle it, but they don't hear it. They have access to it, but they won't listen to it. And in verse 12 of Amos 8, he says, you're running, you're seeking, and you're looking for the word of God, but you can't find it because you won't hear it. And the reason they won't hear it is because their will is not subject to the word of God. Praise God. Let's talk about 2008. You want to talk about today? 2 Timothy chapter 3. Is it okay if we read Bible today? You all right with this? I mean, I could bring Think and Grow Rich to the pulpit. We could read out of that. 2 Timothy 3, beginning in verse 1. Everyone say, in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now, I'm going to give you a list of things, and you tell me if we're talking about 2008. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection. That means they got unnatural affection. Whatever that means, it just means their affection's not straight. Truce breakers, false accusers. Is there a lawyer in the house? Incontinent. That means you can't be satisfied. Fierce. Despisers of those that are good. Traitors. Heady. High-minded. Lovers of pleasures. More than lovers of God. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. From such, turn away. Verse 7. Ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Handling the word of God every day and will not hear it. Because their will is not subject to the word of God. I want you to follow this. Verse 16 and 17. Everyone say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. If you've got a Bible, hold it up in the air and say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Keep it up and turn to your neighbor and say, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. Shake it at your neighbor and say, this is God's word. And don't forget it. Live it. Love it. Obey it. My God, is this all right with you? Chapter 4 and verse 2. Now this is the charge to young preacher Timothy. And this is what the apostle tells him to do. Preach the word. Don't preach a lot of nonsense. I know sometimes when you come in this house, it's not all that entertaining. I know we might read 15 or 20 scriptures sometime when you come into this house. And I know that if you don't have an appetite for the word of God, sometimes this is not all that palatable to you. But let me tell you, there's nothing that'll change your life like the word of God. Preach the word. My God, when we got an evangelist coming here next week, when he takes the pulpit, you need to say, preach to me, preacher. Preach the word of God. I like a joke and I like a story, and you can keep me entertained and preach to me too. Well, that's good. Sometimes, my God, you just need a steady diet of the word of God. It's the only thing that'll redeem your soul and change your mind. Preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Just be ready. Somebody say, be ready. Ready. Reprove. Rebuke. Now, you know, that's some of the problem. The word of God says, reprove, rebuke. That means reproof is like you're wrong. And rebuke is you're wrong and you're bad. You're making bad choices. Bad dog, bad dog. That's reproof. Rebuke is, you don't do that again. If you do that again, you won't set foot on this platform. You'll sit down here in this pew. Well, I'll leave this church. Well, you can leave this church, but you're not going to sing in that choir, and you're not going to act like that in this house of God. That's what rebuke is. If you teach in Sunday school, we got a standard of behavior. There is a godly expectation. If you're dealing with our children, we've got an expectation about your lifestyle and about your behavior. And no, not just anybody can come sing. And no, not just anybody can drag their old guitar up here and play. Reprove, rebuke, and exhort. That means lift you up, edify you. Praise God. And we do some of that too. But you see how intrusive the Word of God is? Wait a minute, preacher. I'm a big man. I'm a grown man. I feed my family. I work a job. This is the United States of America. I, a long time ago, quit taking any huff off of anybody, and I'm not going to take it off some runt, bald-headed preacher. Well, you got to get this right. I'm just the mailman. And the mail is yours. It's got your name on it. And if it's a rebuke or if it's a reproof or if it's an exhortation, it's yours. You have mail. And when I leave, it belongs to you. It doesn't belong to me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. Praise God. The Word of God is intrusive. The Word of God is it's quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it does work down inside where some people don't want work done. But it's the best thing you'll ever lay your hands to. Praise God. Verse 3, the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine. Have we got there? But after their own lusts, they'll heap to themselves teachers having itching ears. I wasn't just fooling with Brother Kedrick. I was giving you scripture. They gather teachers that tell them what they want to hear. It's like having somebody scratch you in just the right spot. Praise God. But you don't want a preacher that'll tell you what you want to hear. You don't want a preacher that'll tell you it's okay if you disobey God's word. You don't want a preacher that'll say, oh, just let the kids run. They'll wind up back right one day. You don't want a preacher that'll just tell you, well, forget about the word of God. It's not relevant in 2008. We're far too sophisticated for the word of God. You don't want a preacher like that. You want somebody that'll come and tell you the truth of God. My God, I want the preacher to walk in and get on my feet and hit me upside the head with the word of God. I want it. If I'm asleep, wake me up. If I'm on my way to hell, turn me around. If I'm not right, get me right. I've got to do this thing right. Praise God. But here's the heart of this today. Hearing the word of God is predicated on subjugation of your will. You can't hear the will of God if the word of God makes you angry and you turn away. You can't hear. You ever been witnessing to somebody and they say, you're saying, you're, and you're giving them chapter and verse, and they say, you're saying, I'm not saying anything, Jack. I'm just reading to you from the book. That's exactly right. And your problem is that your will is not subjugated. That's why you're not down in this altar. You can't come get the Holy Ghost till you subject your will. You can't get baptized in Jesus' name till you subject your will. You can't hear the good news of God until you subject your will. And you can't say, I want four of the commandments and not the other six. You can't edit the word of God. You can't make it palatable. You can't take what you want and leave the rest. This is the word of God. That's the whole proposition. It takes a Gethsemane. You listen to me. Jesus gives us the type in his garden experience and in his wilderness experience. In his wilderness experience, he comes and defeats the devil as a man. He doesn't defeat the devil as God. He meets him as a man. And when the devil tempts him, he said, it is written. And he quotes the word of God. It is written. And he quotes the word of God. It is said. And he quotes the word of God. And he defeats the devil like you can defeat the devil by using the word of God. And you know what God did to do that? He subjected himself to the word of God. God could have taken Satan and flung him out to the outer reaches of the universe and put him in a box and shipped him off somewhere unknown to everyone. Anything he wanted to do, turn him into a French fry or a eggplant parmesan, depending on your culture. Could have done anything, but he defeated him by the word of God. God himself subjected himself to his word. And in the garden, the man, Christ Jesus, gets down on that dusty garden floor and weeps and sweats, as it were, great drops of blood and says, nevertheless. Now, everything, listen to me, everything he does is didactic. Everything he does is intended to teach. He's on his face. He's weeping and he's moaning and he's winning the battle for Calvary right there in that garden floor. And he says, nevertheless, and he's given an example, not my will, but thine be done. Praise God. And he subjects himself, his humanity, to the word of God. You can't hear the word of God until you're subjected. Praise God. Subjection starts in an altar where you say, not my way, but your way. Not my will, but your will. In all of creation, you're the only part of God's plan that has a will, that can exercise your will against the will of God. And God has given you a way by his word to come into compliance with the will and purpose of God. Let's stand today. Praise God. Praise God. He said the priests and the prophets are prophesying falsely. Their desire is for an agreeable God, a permissive God, a God that will allow them to do what they want, a God that will indulge them, and a non-intrusive God. But I just wondered if there would be anybody in the house today that wants to hear the word of God. Intrusive, assertive, aggressive, empowering. Praise God. Somebody say praise the Lord. David said, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. Praise God. John, can you give us Psalms 1 and 1? Everybody say, blessed is the man. In the next couple of verses, he tells you, there are some folks you ought not hang out with. Praise God. Go on to 2. Everyone say, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in it doth he meditate day and night. Praise God. At the time of Jeremiah, Judah did not delight in the law of God. But the man that is blessed, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And he just handles it all the time. He can't get enough of it. He wants to go to camp meeting. He wants to be in church every time the doors are open. He wants to go to ARC and make a fool out of himself worshiping and praising God. And then he goes to the back and he buys a CD so he can listen to it all over again. Got a Bible by the bed. Got a Bible in the lunch pail. Got a Bible in the briefcase. Got Bible on the computer. Got Bible in the car, got the Bible on tape, got Word of God going on, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. Everybody say he's blessed. He's blessed. Let me tell you, subjugation of your will is the beginning of having a blessed experience with God. All kind of other voices out there, this huge struggle in the earth to resist the Word of God. But the word is calling you today and saying, I've got the key to every dream in your heart. I've got the answer to every perplexing question in your spirit. But you've got to come and yield yourself to the word of God. I'm going to open this altar right now. If you'd like to just come and say, God, I love your word. Give it to me. God, I love your word. Teach it to me. Everything in my life that's not like you, I want you to just show me what to be, what to do, how to live, where to go. My God. It's a morning to give God an open and a blank check to your life. If there's anyone in the house that needs the Holy Ghost, you can get it right here today. Just come and give yourself to the Word of God. Take a look, church. See if there's anybody around you that needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost. See if there's somebody here that needs to go down to the water in Jesus' name.